Dvarim with regard to Lebuti Akiv Leisi Elihu as you have with regard to Mechama Lerevacha, which means Lahaloche, there is no Machlekes. Reb Yehuda calls it Mechamis Mitzvah, but even though it's Mechamis Mitzvah, you have all the Pturim of Gomish. The Hachomim call it Rishus, and obviously the Pturim exists. Then why does Reb Yehuda insist on calling this Mitzvah and not Chayvo? Chayvo, there's no exclusion. Here it's only, in quotation marks, a mitzvah, therefore there's an exclusion. L'mai naskamina, what we call it, mitzvah or chayvah, not a naskamina, filchus malachus l'chom. But l'mai naskamina, naskamina, loisit the mitzvah, shefotamina mitzvah. The guy is out doing battle, the mechem is reshus, and a poor man comes and asks him for a proof, he's got to give it to him. If he's involved in a mechom, the mute, akum, leilesi, alayu, and now is he poter from some other mitzvah that might come up, that's the machloikis of Yehuda and the chachomim, but we're in Rabbanon. A machloikis has nothing to do with a heter of Yisr mechom. It's a totally extraneous to Hilchus mechom. Only this new category of the mute akum, leilesi, alayu, the nachmin is he an eisik mitzvah or isn't he an eisik mitzvah? An Eisik in Mochemes Chayva is an Eisik B'mitzvah. An Eisik in Mochemes Rishus is not an Eisik B'mitzvah. An Eisik in Mochoma L'mute Akum B'leitzi Elayu is he an Eisik B'mitzvah? Isn't he an Eisik B'mitzvah? This turns out to be a Machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Rabbanan. That's point number one. Point number two, of quite apart from the Gemara, there is a difference between Mochemes Mitzvah and Mochemes Chayvo. The Gemara doesn't say there's a nafkamina between them because it has nothing to do with a Loshon of Mitzvah or a Loshon of Chayvo. A Mochemes Mishus requires a Melech and a Sanhedrin. The Mochemes Rishus also requires Urim V'Tumim. Even though the Rambam doesn't say Urim V'Tumim in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam does say Urim V'Tumim in the Sefer HaMitzvah, because in the Sefer HaMitzvah, the Rambam says that you need a Kohen Gadol for Mochemes Rishus. The function of a Kohen Gadol is with Nei Olos V'Hakohen Yamri. V'Shoah, he has to stand and ask the Urim V'Tumim. We don't need a Kohen Gadol. We need his Kohen. We need the Urim V'Tumim that he's wearing. So the Rambam, that's why he left out in the Mishnah Torah, I don't know. But the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah makes it very clear. The Ramban in the Hatzorgas on the Sefer HaMitzvah says that you need Urim V'Tumim not only for a Mochemes Rishus, but for a Mochemes Chayvo as well. Now, I'm not terribly interested in the Protiginim. Maybe for Mochemes HaMolek you don't need the Urim V'Tumim, but if so, it's only because Mochemel Hashem HaMolek Nidor Ador, you're already in the middle of the Mochemel, you already had the direct Sivri. It may turn out that there is one category of Mochemes Mitzvah that doesn't need Urim V'Tumim, doesn't need Melech, that doesn't need Sanhedrin, and we'll see that when we come to the Lashon HaRambam. But these are then the general parameters. So the point I began making was that there is no Milchoma without divine license. Mechemes Mitzvah is obvious. The Rabbi Shalom says, he tells Yeshua to go conquer Israel. He says you have to go fight against the Amalek. The Mechemes Rishus turns into more than just a Rishus, because I would translate Rishus an authorized war, not simply a discretionary war. No, like al tisvada al Rishus means it's got authorization. The Ribbono Shel Olam have to authorize the war, otherwise the war is illegitimate. Now, in terms of halach, what war is mutter? Mechemes Mitzvah is mutter, but Mechemes Mitzvah needs Melech and Sanhedrin. We don't have a Melech and we don't have a Sanhedrin, so there can't be a Mechemes Mitzvah with Manazeh. Mechemes Rishus is mutter only with Melech, Sanhedrin, and the Urim V'Tumim. I haven't seen the Urim V'Tumim lately, which means that we can't have a Mechemes Rishus either. What about a Milchomo Lim'ute Akum Gulayesi Olayhu? Is that Muhammad Mutaros? If the Gemara calls it a Mochemes Mitzvah, and for the Chachomim it's Mochemes Rishus,
then it should have all the dinim of a Nochemes Rishus for Lachatomi. Nochemes Rishus is Melech Sanhedrin Urim Ketumim, which means that a Nochoma L'mu'uti Akum L'ilayfi Elayu should also be Osir and Alope. This so-called preemptive war should also be Osir. Then what's left? What war is Mutav is Manaveh, if any? If we look at the Rambam, which you have in the package, the Rambam is about the fourth page, I think. He is Perik Kei Halacha Aleph. Ein HaMelech Nilkam Tchila Mochemes Mitzvah. Ze'ei Zui Mochemes Mitzvah. Zil Mochemes Shiva Amin. Mochemes Amolei. Those are the two that we have. Mochemes Sheva Amin. That's the Mochoma of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Mochemes Amolei. Ve'ezrat Yisrael Miyatzor Shabo Aleihem. There's a new category. An Ezras Yisrael Miyatzor. What's Ezras Yisrael Miyatzor? It's what I call a what?
Where is
this? Perikei Halacha Aleph. It's page 4 in the handout, I think. And if I counted wrong, let's say, if I counted wrong, it's page 3. Depends whether you count the cover sheet or not. Okay, what's Ezras Yisrael Miyatzor? Put it into modern nomenclature. What do you call Ezras Yisrael Miyatzor? A defensive war. So Ram says that defensive war is Milchemes Mitzvah. There are several problems. The first problem is, I know it's the stopper, and a defensive war sounds as if it should be moved. But where does the Rambam get this from? Where do we have a Gemara that says Ezra Sisom Yatzor is Mutter? And certainly, where do we have a Gemara that turns into Milchemes Mitzvah? Secondly, the Rambam ignores the Milchama L'mu'uti Akum L'leisi Elayu. Rambam just ignores the category totally and completely. What should the Rambam have said? If you're going to correct the text of the Rambam for him, if you're going to amend the text, how will you pass him with regard to Milchama L'mu'uti Akum L'leisi Elayu? How are you going to pass him? Is it Mochemes Mitzvos or Mochemes Rishus? First of all, the Rambam doesn't know about Mochemes Feivah. Just the words that he uses is a kind of a giveaway. He means he's fasting according to the Chachamim, not like Rebbe Yehuda. Yochanan Rav Moshe Rabbi, no big problem. So he's calling it Mochemes Mitzvah, he's calling Mochemes Kibush Eretz Yisrael, Mochemes Mitzvah instead of Mochemes Feivah. Fine. So if you're fasting according to the Rabbanon, as indeed you should, then what about the Mochemes L'muti Akim L'leisi Elayah? What category is that? I want to know. I'm out fighting this Mochemes, this man. When there was a Sanhedrin and that, Nurim Yisumi. And somebody asked for stuff, do I have to give it to him or don't I have to give it to him? That's also a machloi distribution of Chachomim. What's the halacha? We're passing according to Chachomim, then this becomes a Mochemes Rishus. Not a Mochemes Mitzvah, it's a Mochemes Rishus. And the Rambam doesn't speak about that either. Because if it's a Mochemes Rishus, I should need a Nurim Yisumi. I should need Melach, I should need Sanhedrin. L'muti Akim L'leisi Elayos. So it means that that's also a dead letter. So why didn't the Rambam tell me something about that? It would be rather simple if we were able to say, we could kill two birds with one stone. We could answer both kashas by making one kasha being the territory of the other. We want to know where is Rambam Gedez Yisrael Miyatzor, and why doesn't the Rambam Paskin, Mochemes Fariva, Mochemes Mochemes L'muti Akum L'Yisrael Ayu, if Ezra Yisrael Miyatzor is one and the same as L'muti Akum, then fine, so that's where the Rambam got it from, and he codified the halacha of Ezra Yisrael, he codified the halacha of L'muti Akum L'Yisrael Ayu. But then the problem is he's passing the wrong way. He's passing like Rabbi Yehuda instead of like the Chachamim. He's calling it a Mochemes Mitzvah, not a Mochemes Rishus. That isn't going to work terribly well. Moreover, the Loshon HaRambam, there's a Yisrael Miyatzor, Shebo Aleihem. What does the word Shebo Aleihem mean? But no, what does the word Shebo Aleihem mean? Bo is the past tense, right? It's the cow. Third person singular, who has come upon them. L'mute Akum D'Leleisi Elayah sounds to me as if it's with regard to Akum, which are not yet here. It's somehow to decimate them, to destroy them, so they're not going to be able to attack. Preemptive, as we call it. Whereas Ezra Yisrael Miyatzor Shebo Aleihem certainly sounds as if the enemy is already here, which is a different category totally and completely. The Chazon Ish explicitly says that the word Shebo Aleihem means Shekvar Bo. Later I will show you at least one Achron who disagrees with the Chazon Ish. But, the Pashtus HaDvarim would certainly indicate that the Chazon Ish is right. That Shavua Aleihem means both, past, they're here already. Not just going to come, but they're here. Yes. Then she said, Haboim Aleihem, not Shavua Aleihem. Shavua means that have come, or who have come. No, Tsar is Yoki. Ezra Yisrael Miatzar. Tsar is the enemy. She said, Habu Aleihem. Haboim Aleihem. Alright, look, the Chazon Ish Kvarbo. I'm going to have to do something for the one who's reading Rambam differently anyway, so fine. So we'll use your translation of the Rambam for those Acharim. Alright, so, and another problem with regards to this Rambam. The Rambam also defines Nochemes Mitzvah. He also defines Mochemes Rishus. V'aherkach Yilcham Dil Mochemes Rishus. Now, what is Mochemes Rishus? We have a Gemara. The Gemara told what Mochemes Rishus was. Mochemes Rishdovi L'Ravocho, said the Gemara, right? Says the Rambam, V'hiya Mochol Moshin Yilcham Im Sharo Ami. That refers to the Melech. Kidei Laharchiv Gvu Yisrael. So far, so good. That's the Ravocho. The Ravocha means for Lebensraum, for expansion. But the Rambam then proceeds to add, Ulaharbez Bigdulos Levishima. What does Laharbez Bigdulos Levishima mean? Is that the Ravocha? That doesn't sound like the Ravocha, the Gemara. This isn't a Melech who wants more territory so that you can spread out. This is a Melech who's going to battle so that everybody will know what a mighty king he is. Laharba is the Gedulosai Vishima, to enhance his grandeur and reputation, or whatever other words you want to use for Gedulosai Vishima. This is for purely selfish reasons, or at least so it sounds. The Melech is doing this because he wants everybody to know what a great king he is. He wants to let everyone know exactly what he can do, how mighty he is. We don't have a Gemara for this. Where the Rambam finds that the Melech is allowed to do this? Maybe the Ravocha, that's for the benefit of father so. But Laharba is Gdulosa, Vishima. Where's that a matir from Mochomet? Even a Mochomet and Mochemet refuse. Alright, I'm not so much interested in resolving the problems of the Rambam. Now, answering where the Rambam got all of this. The purpose, or the main thrust of my concern now, is the definition of which war is Mutter and which war is Osir. But I think that one thing we have just seen as a result of the problem with the Rambam, we've seen that we have several categories of war. Besides Mochemes Mitzvah, Mochemes Rishus, we have this category of the Muti Akim Gulei, which is a subcategory of Mochemes Rishus, and we have something that the Rambam calls a Mochemes Mitzvah, namely Ezra Sisrael Miyatzar. These seem to be dichotomous categories. If you're not dealing with a war of aggression, which is the Mochemes Mitzvah, or the ultimate Mochemes Rishus, then there's something in between. It's not a war of aggression, and this is either Mutter or Osir. How do we know whether it's Mutter or Osir? We seem to have two categories that divide all wars which aren't wars of aggression. Ezra, we saw in the Atzor, that's a defensive war, and then Lebuti Atum, which is preemptive. And there seems to be there's nothing in between. Anything else is automatically aggression. If you want to define Ezra Sisrael Miyatzor, if you want to know what a defensive war, you first have to define Lumuti Akum Gulelesi Olayu. Because anything which is less than Lumuti Akum Gulelesi Olayu is by definition a war of aggression, and we can forget about it. Anything which is more than Lumuti Akum Gulelesi Olayu sounds to me as if it should fall into the category of Ezra Sisrael Miyatzor, so that if it's a more serious threat than merely Lebuti Akum Gulei Olayu, it should fall into the category of Ezra Sisrael Miyatzor, unless you're going to posit new categories that fall in between these two, and that doesn't make very much sense to me. What is this war? It's not yet Ezra Sisrael Miyatzor, and it's more than Lebuti Akum. We don't have a category of halacha that deals with it. If it doesn't rise to Ezra Sisrael Miyatzor, then it's Lebuti Akum. So as soon as I know the highest level of the Lamute Akum, I know that the next step beyond that is the lowest level of Hezra Shisrael Miyatzor, which is also a form of self-defense, a defensive word. Okay. It seems to me that there are six and probably seven sheikhs in the definition of Lamute Akum Leleisi Alayhu, which then becomes seven definitions of what constitutes a milchama of Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor, the permitted defensive war. Because anything above the Muti Akum Leleisi Alayhu is going to be in Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. And you can, you know, construct a spectrum. And anything above, wherever you're going to define the Muti Akum Leleisi Alayhu, anything higher on the spectrum becomes Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. The first is the Lechem Mishnah, who says that Laharbay Zulosay Vishimai means Limute Akum Leleisi Alayhu. He is now defining Limute Akum Leleisi Alayhu, and he is giving you a very, very broad definition of Limute Akum Leleisi Alayhu, the broadest definition that you're going to find anyplace. He is saying, if this analysis is correct, if the Lechem Mishnah is right, then the Rambam is saying, how is the Melech Loichen Limute Akum Leleisi Alayhu? How do you prevent these Goyim from attacking you? By striking terror wherever you can. If you get a reputation as a mighty warrior, then nobody is going to start up with you. That means the Melech can go to battle anytime he thinks that he's going to be able to wipe out the enemy, and the net result is going to be Lumute Akum Duileisi Alayhu, and that then is the Mochemes Rishus, but Yidurim Betumim. You can't do it without Yidurim Betumim, but there's no real threat at all. It's just Laharbais Bidulosa Yoshima, so that no goy should ever dream of trying to attack Klal Yisrael at any time in the future. Any time that there is a greater threat than that, no, it's not just, if I may borrow the medical term, a prophylactic war. If there is any threat of any kind whatsoever, that becomes Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. I don't have to wait for the goyim to come and start shooting, where they're getting ready to fight, or where I have good reason to think that they're getting ready to fight. All of that is already a threat. If that's a threat, it's Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. So if you take the Lechem Mishnah's analysis, wherever there is the slightest hint of danger that is already in existence, it rises to Ezra Yisrael Miyatzor. The only problem is that the Lechem Mishnah is right, and the Rambam is talking like a Yehudik, Neged HaChachamim, and that's a little bit problematic. Particularly if he was going to pass like Rabbi Yehuda, then he should use Rabbi Yehuda's terminology. He should talk about Mechemes Slavo, not about Mechemes Mitzvah. Alright, that's the... Because he's calling it... I'm sorry, what's he saying? He's saying that he's calling... He's calling this Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor a Mochemes Mitzvah. I'm sorry, he's using, I correct myself, he's using the language, you're right, he's using the language of the Chachomi rather than the language of Yud. Not all of it's not going to be. It is a Mochemes Rishus, and the Rambam hasn't told us there's Mesech Mitzvah for him, it's on the contrary, there isn't. This becomes only a Mechemes Rishus, not a Mechemes Mitzvah. It's good. The Rambam, according to Lechem Mishnah, would be fastening according to the Chachamim. Correct. According to the Chachamim, there wouldn't be a problem that these are one and the same. If these are one and the same, then it's in the category of a Mechemes Mitzvah. Okay. Then the Lechem Mishnah is the most permissive in terms of the war of defense that can legitimately be entered into. I'll go in order. Order meaning the most elastic definition of Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor to the most restrictive definition of Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. And the only way that I can do this is by defining Muti Akum Leleisi Alayhu. Because it turns out that the next step is not yet defensive, but is regarded as Muti Akum, then it's not yet Ezra Shisrael Miyatzor. The next is the Shiri Korban. The Shiri Korban is one of the standard Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi's Sukhya on this Mishnah, the Shuri Korban defines Lemuti Akum Lilesiolai. He gives us a definition. Says the Shuri Korban, what is this? It's Lemuti Akum, I want to decimate them because I am afraid that with the passage of time, the enemy will have a military capability. And therefore, I want to prevent the enemy from developing that capability. I'm going to take out the nuclear reactor in Iraq so that they won't be able to build an atom bomb. That's not laharbeis gedulosei v'shima. It's not just to strike fear and terror into the hearts of these goyim so that, I don't know, the pygmies in Africa also will know not to start up with me. But it's designed specifically for this enemy, because I'm afraid that this enemy may sometime become stronger. And you can then use the category of the Muti Akum Lefiolayu only against an enemy that is at least a potential threat. The Eskimos on the North Pole certainly aren't even a potential threat. But if it's Laharba, you can justify going to war against the Eskimos also. It doesn't make any difference who the enemy is. You just want to show how powerful you are. So you can pick anybody. Any Kapor Hindu will do for that. So that the Shuri Korban is certainly much more restrictive. The problem is that both the Lecha Mishnah and the Shuri Korban are contradicted by the Rambam himself. Not the Rambam of the Mishnah Torah, but by the Rambam in the Pirish HaMishnayos. And I'll start with our Pirish HaMishnayos, the one that's printed in all the Shasim, the Ibn Tibbon Pirish HaMishnayos. The Pirish HaMishnayos says that the Machlokes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, the Rabbonon, Machlokesom Bahariga Hafardim Isom, Ula Haklishom Ad Shelo Yahargu Yisrael Velo Yilchamu Be'artom. Those words, I repeat them. Hariga Hahergin Oisom Ula Haklishom. We're now going to battle to kill people who are killing us and to weaken them. Ad Shelo Yahargu Yisrael. So they won't be able to kill Jews anymore. Velo Yilchamu Be'artom. They won't fight on our land. The Rambam isn't talking about a melech who wants to strike terror into the hearts of his would-be enemies. And we're not dealing with a military build-up which is not yet a threat. The Rambam says, Haharadim, my son, they're already killing us. Somebody is dying. Then, it's not yet, Ezra Yisrael Miyatzah. This is only Lemute Akum Deloi Leisei Halayim. That's my problem. This sounds to me like a stira between the Rambam and the Pirish Mishnayos and the Rambam and Mishnah Torah. If they're already killing Jews, then it sounds to me as if it is Ezra Yisrael Miyatzar. Then what does the Rambam mean? How do you distinguish Ezra Yisrael Miyatzar from the Hariga Tahargim Leisom Lahachalishon? There are two possible ways. One possible way, and I don't think it's correct, one possible way is to look at the last three words of the Rambam. V'loy yilchamu bi'artzon. They may have killed Jews, but they're not now in Eretz Yisrael. They're outside of Eretz Yisrael. And we want to weaken them so that they won't attack us in Eretz Yisrael. In which case, the Rambam is making two categories of Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor. There's an Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor, which is in Chutz Loretz, and an Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor, which can affect you in Eretz Yisrael. So if they're already in Eretz Yisrael, that's Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor. But if the problem is only Lahakalishon, so they won't go to Eretz Yisrael to kill you, that's only a Mochemes Rishut. And you probably could justify this by saying that this Ezra, now we'll answer the Kasha I asked before, where do you get the category of Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor? Ezra Yisrael Mi'atzor is Mochom of Kibush Oretz. It's a Mochom for the retention of Eretz Yisrael. I'm now battling battle to retain the territories that I had to fight for in the first place. But Mechutzlar, in his defense, is Lehuti Akim Galeisi Elayu, and it's only a Mechemes Rishus, not a Mechemes Mitzvah. I don't think it's true because of the Sugyan Erevin, which we'll come to later. The Sugyan Erevin is talking about Chutzlar, certainly when there was no Mitzvah of Kibush Arech, and it seems that there is an Ezra Yisrael in the Yassar, that is permissible without Urim Betumim, without Sanhedrin, without anything, which means that there must be some new category of defensive war. The Chazon Ish understands the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis in a fourth way. So I've given you now three shitas so far. Chazon Ish becomes number four. The Chazon Ish says that the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis is talking about what we would call a war of attrition. The Goyim are killing Jews intermittently. It's not an ongoing battle. Ezra Yisrael Yatzar means that they're fighting now. When they're fighting now, then Ezra Yisrael Yatzar, the defensive war to repel the aggressor, is in the Chemet Mitzvah. The Machlokesom Dariga Sahergimesom Ulahaklisha means they're killing them, but not right now. Every once in a while they take a few pot shots. So what do I want to do? I want to weaken them so that in the future they won't be able to do that. But there's, it's not just a vague, undefined threat. It's a threat that has been carried out at least sporadically. And now this Mochomo, Lahakalishom, Ashila Yahagu Yisrael, so they won't be able to kill any more Jews. That's not a Mochemes Mitzvah, but it's at least a Mochemes Rishus. That's how the Chazon Ish explains the Rambam. But the Chazon Ish has a problem. And his problem is that this turns out to be a Machlokes Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda, whether it's called an Eisik Mitzvah. He doesn't quite understand why this shouldn't be regarded as an Eisik Mitzvah, even according to the Rabbanon. Nania, that you may need a Melech and a Sanhedrin, you know, along with it. But when you get all of this, then why isn't it considered a mitzvah? It's lahakalisha, so they won't kill Jews in the future. That should also rise to the level of a mitzvah. Be that as it may be, then the Chazon Ish says that a war of attrition creates a situation in which the response, the defensive response, is the category of a mochemes rishus, and hence it's off bounds to us for all intents and purposes, and you need an actual attack in order for it to rise to the level of Ezra Yisrael Miyad Tsar. There is what I think is a fifth shita, and that is the Rambam in Kafach Perush Mishnayot. Or better, if you take the Kafach translation of the Pirush Mishnayot, I think it turns out that we're dealing with a different text of the Rambam, which has a significant effect in terms of halacha, and here we're not dealing with a new manuscript, but we're dealing with a new translation of an old manuscript, and I take no position with regard to which is a more accurate translation of the Arabic Kafach or the Ibn Tizen. My Arabic isn't good enough to be machlik, it's to be machnis reishi, bein ha'hori and ha'gadeli. But the Kafach translation of the Arabic says that the mochomo, the mute akum, the lelesi alayhu, is milchemes umeis ha'milchomim bohem, kidei lahakalishom shaloi yilchamu b'Yisrael, Veloy Yisnaplu al Arsom. Note, he omits saying that they are Hahergim Esom. No one has killed Jews, or at least the Rambam hasn't referred to killing the Jews. But these are the Umayyad Hanilchomim Bohem Kedei Lahakalishom. They've done something, but not necessarily killed anybody. And now the purpose is Shaloy Yilchamu, so that they won't do battle. They won't fall on our land. I would then categorize that as what we call a state of belligerence. There isn't necessarily a single shot fired, but there's been a declaration of war. There's been some act which is tantamount to a declaration of war. And even though there is nobody who is in immediate danger, but there is reason to anticipate danger. This then, Kafach calls it's probably less of a danger than what I defined as the Chazanish, and this then becomes probably what I should call four before instead of five. This becomes a mechoma lemuti akum b'reisi alayhu. But anything more than that, if you've already started a war of attrition, that then may, for the Kapach version, constitute ezras yisrael miyadrar, since Jews are already being killed, even though nobody was killed this morning, but if it happened a week ago, that also may rise to the level of ezras yisrael miyadrar. Since all that we have is a state of belligerence, nobody is actually being killed, and there's no imminent threat, it doesn't rise to the level of Ezra Shisorel Miyad Tzad. Then we have the Miri. The Miri says that Lubuti Atu Leisilaihu means Shen Yilchomim Im Oyvehem Machmas Sheyirei Mehem Sheyavoyu Aleihem Oishen Noida Lohem Shemichinim Asmon Lakach. This sounds to me as the most restrictive definition.
Well, in the Shir Karma?
No. Shir Karma says, I'm afraid, with the passage of time, they may get strong. Right. With time? No, eventually. I see the development of a military capacity. The Neri is saying that true, he says Shirei Mehem Shivayolehem or Shenoidalehem Shemechini Masmon Lakach. We know that they're preparing, or we have reason to fear that they are preparing. That sounds like it's much more imminent. And now we're dealing with a preemptive strike, because if we don't go first, then they are going to attack relatively soon. Not in the far distant future, but that this is or at least Uranium. We have reason to fear that they are preparing themselves. Then what we call a preemptive strike, even with active preparations on the part of the enemy, becomes for the Miri, and it doesn't yet rise as a soul the outside. The Miri seems to me to be the most restrictive definition of what constitutes a war of defense. You've got to have much more than a threat. You have to have actual hostility in order to be able to call it a defensive action.
Okay.
Yes?
Wouldn't, like, you don't actually have hostilities from here. Couldn't you just have a massive troops on border? Would that maybe be fine?
That's the Miri. Neidolem Shemechini Masmon Lakach. That's only massive troops on the border is Neidolem Shemechini. Right? Didn't do anything. That's Lumuti Akhulay. I'm now going to kill them. I will diminish their numbers, so they won't be able to attack. But so far they've done nothing. They're just Mechini Masmosh. Okay. Then I come to what I think is, to all intents and purposes, a different sheet entirely. And that's the Orach HaShulchan. The Orach HaShulchan says that the whole Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbonon, has absolutely nothing to do with anything except the p'tur of Dvarim, the ones who are not obligated to go out and do battle. But that with regard to the Mochomo itself, even the Chachomi, who call it Rishus and not Mitzvah, can see that there's an absolute obligation to go to war, Lumuti Akum Leisiolayu. In other words, the Orach HaShulchan says that Lumuti Akum Leisiolayu is also Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar. It's Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar only if it's in the context of Lumuti Akum Leisiolayu. Choose any one of the first six sheetahs, whichever one you want. It's only an afkamina with regard to the p'tur of Chosu Mechadrei V'kala Mechuposo. But this same Lumuti Akum Leisiolayu is Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar. Which in effect says, and he himself says, that Shavu Aleihem does not mean Shekvar Bo, but wherever you have any rational basis for going to war, it becomes Ezras Yisrael Miyad Tzar. He disagrees with the Chazanish in how you read the word Shavu Aleihem Rambam. Ezras Yisrael Miyad Tzar. Shavu Aleihem doesn't mean Shavu Aleihem, but he's in the process of coming against them. Okay, those then seem to be the basic shitas. If we were left with that, I don't have to be machriya between the shitas, but if you go back to the Rambam, the Pirush and Mishnayos, and you go back to the Meiri, which are the Rishonim, it certainly seems that the Nochom of Ezra Shisom Yatzar, which is a Nochemis Mitzvah, is a very, very restricted category. However, we've got a problem. And we also said that anything less than that is Nochemis Mitzvah, which certainly requires learning the Tumim Melech and Sanhedrin. Our problem is Halachim for Reshus Narakai, Simin Shin Chof Teh Halakavo, Kusim Shesorah Yoris Yisroel, in boys in moment in Machalayim of the Shabbos, boys in the Foshis Rapilus Tam Yisalayim of Yisrael Machalayim of the Shabbos, Uvira Smukha Lestapo Rapilu Boel Yisikash Vatevin Machalayim of the Shabbos, as the Ramo Vyafilu Loibo Adayo Elo Reitzim Loho, and this is the year of Smukha Lestapo. Even if Loiboadayin, but Reitzim Loho, you also go out and you fight on Shabbos. No, put this up against all the definitions of Muti Akum Lelezi, and I have trouble justifying it to Choyol Loiboadayin on Shabbos. It's not Bo, but it's Reitzim Loho. According to the Chazon Ish, this is the Muti Akum Lelezi, it needs a Melech, Sanet, and Urim Ketumim. How do you want to go to war? What's happening here? Kusim shetzor al yoris yisrael. Doesn't that sound as if it's Muhammad? Or I'll turn your kasha upside down. Forget about Muhammad. Isn't this pikuach nefesh? Why is muti akum lelesi olayhu rishus needing melech sanhedrin or in betumim? What happens to pikuach nefesh? Let me go kill him without the matzah of Muhammad. On the general halacha of Abu Mahorcha, Hashem Vahargoi. I'll come to that later. Maybe. We'll see. I don't think so, but we'll see why. In any event, the Machaber here seems to be talking about something which we cannot justify on the basis of Abu Mahorcha, Hashem Vahargoi. We're dealing with something that is Lemute Akum Gleilei. Otherwise, why don't we need the category of Mochemes Rishus of Lemute Akum Gleilei? If I could justify it with a simple Din Reis, I don't need a new category of Mochemes. Then for some reason, which I'll come to later, you can't justify this as a Reis, and you need a category of war. And Rambo is telling you that even if Loibo, Adayim, Loritz, and Loibai, it's all Mutter. Meilus, the Shure Korban, for Lech and Mishnah, this may be Mochemes Mitzvah, Ezra Shisrael Miyatzah. But for Havanish, it's certainly not Ezra Shisrael Miyatzah. Havanish says Ezra Shisrael is only Kvar Bo, and here's only Ritz and Loibai. Wow, is this Mutter? The Rambo, the source of the Rambo is in Or Zeruah, as you see from the parentheses. And if you look at the Or Zeruah, which is on the other side of the same sheet, Eis Yud Gimel, I think. The Or Zeruah quotes the Gemara in Erevin, which I think is the source of the Rambam's Ezra Yisrael Miyatzar. Says the Gemara, Omrav Yehud Omrav, Akum Shetzor Ayori Yisrael, and Yisrael Mekli Zainom, Bein Mechalim Yisrael Shabbos, the Medbar Mburim Shabbos Yisrael Moment, Alvol Yisrael Nefosh, Yisrael Mekli Zainom, Mechalim Yisrael Shabbos, Ovira Smukha Lesachar, Leifo El Yisrael Kachar Tevin, Yisrael Mekli Zainom, Mechalim Yisrael Shabbos. The time of the milso shema yulkiduho umishom tei neichli kovej kol ha'oret litnehem kol shkin ato shon the dorim binehem sha'afilu in bo'u lishlel bi'almo shejeisim aleihem b'shabes b'klei zayin shekishishirulim
Oz, kemoy kein hergin. Vein lachalik ben hechish etzok var, la'imrim sheretzim lovoy lishlo, elik shakol yese, sheretzim lovoy lishlo, afa pishloy bo adayin, mutu lilbish kli zayin lishmor v'lase skol b'ir, kedei shaloy yohoyu. The Urzuru has told you two things. First, he talks about when they've come to attack. Then he says you can go and you can attack them even on Shabbos. Then he adds that even if there's only a Koyal Yetzay, Shereitz and Robe Lishloel, says the Urzuru, what do you do then? You attack them. He doesn't say that you attack on the basis of the Koyal. He says that even if Loibo Adayin, Mutalubish, Klezayin, Lishmor Velasay, Koyal Beir. What do you do with the Klei Zayin? You make noise. You know, the Koyal is either the Koyal Milchomo, the Koyal of the tanks rumbling, or it's the publicization of the fact that you have already manned your defenses. This is enough to keep them away. As I understand it, the Orzuru is telling you two separate halachas. There's one halacha with regard to Kol Shabbos, and there's another halacha with regard to Milchomo. And insofar as Kol Shabbos is concerned, you don't have to wait for the enemy to actually attack. As far as Kol Shabbos is concerned, Sofik Sakhona is also there to Shabbos. Sofik Sakhona does not necessarily permit a Milchoma. A Milchoma, which involves the taking of life, even non-Jewish life, is also abusive with Yisrael, as we'll see later. But Milchoma requires something else. A vague, undefined danger is enough for Chil Shabbos, to be Yetzu with Klei Zayin, to be Mavir of a Koyal, but it's not enough for Milchoma. When you have an actual attack where it's Kfar Bo'u, then it says that Yisrael Mi'atzor, it's self-defense, and self-defense is Mutter on Shabbos, it's a real Sakona, and not only is it a Sakona which is Matir Ol Yisurim, but it's also Matir Ritzich because of the Din Reishis, because of the Din of Abola Horgacho, Hashkein V'Horgoy. And the Yerzeruah is then telling you that with regard to Muhammad. But to carry the Klei Zayin on Shabbos, that's not yet Muhammad. That involves Chil Shabbos to be sure, and Chil Shabbos can be permitted long before you've reached the state in which there is a Matir for Muhammad. So I'm right, I was redefining the Ramah, not redefine it, to go back and learn Pshat in the Ramah. Because what the Ramah is saying is that you're allowed to be Yetzir to Shabbos, but being Yetzir to Shabbos doesn't yet mean that you're shooting off the arrows or firing the guns. To be Yetzir with the Klei Zayin is not the same as actually killing people. You may be able to go out with Klei Zayin on Shabbos, even in situations in which you cannot yet engage in actual battle. That's the Ramah. Then it turns out that Ezra Tisrael Miyatzai, where it's Bo Aleihem, is the Gemara in Erevin, and that constitutes a Mohemes Mitzvah, not a Mohemes Rishus. It must constitute a Mohemes Mitzvah, not a Mohemes Rishus, because this is Omer Abid Omerav. We no longer have a Melech and a Sanhedrin. And he's telling me, Allah Chesluka. Akum Shebo, Shetzoru Ala Yoris Yisrael. He's telling you what to do when the Akum come, Bizmanoi. And that's Bizmana of the Gemara, not Bizmana of the Mishnah. There was no Melech, there was no Sanhedrin. So I don't need a Melech and a Sanhedrin, because this is Nochemes Mitzvah. The Nochoma, and doesn't require, and this is a Nochoma, which doesn't require a Melech and Sanhedrin, even if some of the other Muhammads would require a Melech. This one won't require a Melech, and certainly won't require Urim V'Tumim. It also can't be in Mohammed's Rishus, because there's another halacha which says that you can't go out on Mohammed's Rishus 3 days before Shabbos. You can't set Hilchos Shabbos. The Mohammed's Rishus has to be at the beginning of the week. It can't be at the end of the week, because it's going to be very Hilchos Shabbos later. So you're not, like not allowed to be Machlis Bismina. You can't go to Mohammed's Rishus, if there's Tzor, Allah Yoris Tzor, even on Shabbos. So we're clearly dealing with a category of Mohammed's Mitzvah rather than a category of Mohammed's Rishus. My problem is then, and I think that that was inherent in your comment before, if we're dealing with something which is defined as a sakona for purposes of Pikuach Nefesh, then why do we need a category of Mohammed altogether? Why don't we simply define all things
in terms of the din of erages, and why is there this other halacha, this new halacha of Mokanda? It seems to me that there are two separate categories. That there's a category of Mokanda, and there's a category of erages. And leharezeh karezeh, which will, by implication, mean that there may be a matter of erages even when there is no milchamas mitzvah of Ezra Sisor v'Yatzar. Only it will be limited to the categories of Reidus and will not have these more expansive ramifications of milchamas. Milchamas seems to me to be inherently different from Reidus in several different ways. First of all, as far as a Reidus is concerned, there is an obligation of Hatzolos HaNirgol. Anybody who's standing there has an or loisofus al nefesh oraidus. In the case of oraidus, more than just loisami. There's an iser loisofus. I have an obligation not to have rachamonus on the oraidus. I have to save the putative victim at the expense of the life of the oraidus. However, there is a limitation. If the oraidus is bigger than I am, is stronger than I am, and I'm afraid that if I may sin, I may get killed also, I have no obligation to place myself in danger in order to save somebody else's life. The Yisr of Leisochus is no different from the Yisr of Leisamri. The Yisr of Leisamri doesn't exist where there is a Sosik Bikuach Nefesh to the would-be rescuer. And the Yisr of Leisochus on Nefesh Arede, on that Leisochus Nefesh Retreya, doesn't exist with regard to a situation in which the person who wants to intervene would be intervening at his own peril by putting his own life in danger. In war, what about Pikuach Nefesh in time of war? That's the Mitzvah Skinos Kasher. What do you mean, how can there ever be a mitzvah to go to war? It's dangerous. People have gotten killed in war. And Ein L'chadov Arim Zedei Pikuach Nefesh is not one of the Gimel Averis. So why do I ever have to go to war? So what's the mitzvah's answer? There are two mitzvahs. Well, the essence of the mitzvah is to put yourself in sakana. One of them is war, and the other is milah. The chest of the mitzvah is to put yourself in sakana. That's what the tzivu is for. Wherever there is a mitzvah of mochomer, then I'm obligated to put myself in danger. So that whenever you're engaged in self-defense, there will be an askamina when you're engaged in self-defense for the halacha of Habo lahargecho, or habo lahari chaverecho, this halacha of reidus, or whether you're engaged on the basis of Ezra Sisrael Miatzar. If it is simple, ordinary, private reidus, I don't have to endanger myself. If it's Ezra Sisrael Miatzar, then I have to help even if I'm endangering myself. Hopefully, and I'll come back to this point later, even though I'm not an Isik and Mitzvah's fault in the Mitzvah, the Melech has a right to force me to endanger myself, even if it's not for a Mitzvah. I don't get a piece of Yosin when I come back, but I wasn't having a human Mitzvah. But Afal Pikein, he has the right to endanger me for his Mochemes Rishus. A very broad power that this monarch has. But you're absolutely right. That's the category of Mokhama in Mokhama Sushu. It can force me to go to battle even from Mokhama Sushu. Yes?
Does this person have a buffer for Mila and Mokhama Sushu? Or did you say that
it's not a mitzvah? It's Mokhama. That's the chest of the mitzvah.
Why can't you assume that not the same thing as Rode? It's a mitzvah. It's a Rode. It's a mitzvah.
No. It's not always the case that I endanger myself, I'm saving the raiders. I've got a gun and he doesn't. All he has is a slingshot. And I'm standing far enough away so that the stone isn't going to hurt me, but my bull is going to hurt him. I am not exposed to any danger whatsoever. But war is different, and Mila is certainly different. We know that war is dangerous. And the Torah's mitzvah war kederach aloichamim. It doesn't say just stand far enough away so that they can't shoot you, and you fight them only if the range of your artillery is longer than the range of their artillery. That's not mukham. Mukham is derach aloichamim, and derach aloichamim you expose yourself to danger. That's clear. All right, that's one difference between Ezra Sisrael Miatzar and the ordinary obligation of Brady, Fatzolos HaNirgol. The second is that with regard to the din of Aretis, a person has a halacha of Aretis only if it is certain, or what's the lotion of some of the later tshuvas, an umzene korov levadai, that if you don't intervene, the nirgah is going to be killed. But you need, if not certainty, near certainty, that if you fail to intervene, a human life is going to be lost. If we take all of the different definitions that we have of lumuti akum lulei alayhu, and then assume that the next most severe is esras yisrael miyatzar, I don't think that we have reached the stage of an umdina korv levadai that there's going to be life loss, or even an umdina korv levadai that they're going to go to battle. If, you know, you take the Lecha Mishnah, take the Shiri Korv, and then it's very simple. Even the Chazanish or Kappa, if you're dealing with a situation in which they're engaged in military buildup, but we don't know if Mumma Korv or Vadai, when they're finished, they're going to attack. Who knows? As a din of rages, that wouldn't be enough. I see somebody in his house who's putting bullets in his gun. I can't go in and shoot him because I think he's probably going to shoot somebody. That's not enough to make him a rages. I have to see him pointed at somebody, put his finger on the trigger. Then it becomes Mumma Korv or Vadai. But until he's actually done that, I can't intervene on the basis of a rages. But Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar is much more expansive than that. Wherever there is an Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar, even though I don't have the matir of a rabbit, I do have the matir of Milchomo, of Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar. And then finally is one very severe and one very significant limitation upon the halacha of a rabbit. I can kill the rabbis to save the nirgah. But what if I'm dealing with a situation in which the only way that I can save the nirgah is by killing the rabbis, and with him, a few innocent civilians? Am I allowed to eliminate other innocent people to save the nirgah?
Wouldn't that be
my cousins? Sure. The Kiddush of Rages is that we don't say my Mikrozis as far as the Rages is concerned. The dam of the Nirdof is sumachvei than the dam of the Rages. Not simply because he's a Rosh, because even if he's a Kotner or a Shreiter, there's a din of a Rages, but because he's involved in an act of aggression. Whatever the underlying rationale is, the Torah prefers the life of the Nirdof over the life of the Rages. But if the only way that I can kill the rabbit is by taking a few innocent people together with him, that I have a right to take these innocent people, they're not doing anything, they're not racing, that I turn them into nirgofim. So my cause is this nirgof or that nirgof? Well, why you say is sacrificing those people to save this person? You have no right to do that. What about Mokhama? In Mokhama, do I have to be careful to kill only soldiers and not to kill innocent civilians? Nochome is a matir. In war, you go to battle and you kill even the people who can't kill you. You know, you're fighting against the army, and the army also has a cook. The cook never killed anybody, and if he killed anybody, it's only on his side. He poisons them with this. So he's not a threat to you. The cook isn't a threat. And you start shooting, you're going to kill the cook too. Who gives you the right to kill the cook? So that the matir of Mokhama is a matir to engage in battle, and if innocent lives are lost, well, so be it. Innocent lives are lost. There's nothing you can do about it. That's the matir of Mokhama. Non-combatants lose lives in war. So those seem to me to be the three crucial distinctions with regard to Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar and Lemuti Akum Lilesi Alayu. So that if you want to know whether a given situation involves Ezras Yisrael Miyatzar, it'll be negeya to be able to go to battle and to take advantage of those three aspects of Mokhama Ditzmuter, whereas if you're dealing with a simple Redif, if you're dealing as a simple Redif, sure, the Tzivur is no different from a Yochid. The Tzivur can go to war if it's threatened, just as a Yochid can go to war if a Yochid is threatened. But it's going to war only La Solas and Yadov, and it's limited to all those things. Let me then go back to Lemuti Akum Dulilesi Olayu, which is clearly not the category of Raidus. In fact, things that are more serious a threat than Lemuti Akum Dulilesi Olayu may also not rise to the level of a Raidus. Lemuti Akum Dulilesi Olayu turns out to be a Machlekes Rabbanon and Reb Yehuda. Is this a mitzvah, an oisiv mitzvah, potem mitzvah, or isn't it an oisiv mitzvah, potem mitzvah? What's the machlokes? Lemutei akum d'leilesi olayhu is a milchemes mitzvah. Right? I'm sorry, milchemes rishus, right? It's a milchemes rishus. Why is it a rishus? What makes it into a rishus? There's a simple way to explain why it's a rishus. It's a rishus, not for Yochi, but for the tzibur. The tzibur has the right to go to war, l'revoche. The melech takes the tzibur to war, l'revoche. Revoche may not be only territorial aggrandizement. Without going into talking, there are some operating who say clearly that l'revoche doesn't mean just to capture territory. It can be for economic advantage, because I want to conquer the markets. I want to eliminate them as competitors in markets or whatever. It's also l'revoche. It's for economic prosperity. That's a category of mechemes rishus. The melech has the right to go to war in order to advance the social welfare. If you understand it that way, then certainly the elimination of future danger is something that the tzibur needs. It needs it no less than it needs territory, and certainly no less than it needs market for its goods. So, as a rishus, I understand this very simply. The tzibur has the right, under some circumstances, even to go into battle, and the underlying rationale is that this is somehow enhancing the quality of life of the tzibur in totality. The tzibur has a right to be neir kofin for all kinds of things. You can be kofin for all kinds of social amenities that promote the social welfare. If you're a member of society, the society has a right to regulate its own institutions and to promote the welfare and well-being of its members. And this is another way to promote the welfare and well-being of its members. However, there are some things that may be more significant than others. If it's just to make a merchas is to make people comfortable. But we also have Allah, the tzibur decided to build a new bathhouse. The workmen constructing the bathhouse, are they an oisiv mitzvah? Are they potem mitzvah? Certainly not. It's a social amenity. But it's, and it can be crazy. But it certainly doesn't rise to the level of a mitzvah. One of the things that you find that the Bnei Yair can be kofer is lapis lahem chaymod losayim uvriya. They can force the imposition of a tax in order to put up walls and barriers on the walls, whatever you need to build these fortifications. Why do you build fortifications? What do you do is, but they're pretty. It's like a park. Walled cities, they're quaint, aren't they? What do you do this? Huh? Defense. Then I'm confused. If this is for purposes of defense, what do you mean the Bnei Yair are facing Zerze? And without the Bnei Yair being facing Zerze, if this is Bikurat Nefesh and it's defense, then I don't wait for the Bnei Yair to be kosher. I go out and I build it myself. Let's assume a situation in which a person has got suffering a heart attack, and there are now 10 people standing here. Who's mechuyev to pay the taxi fare to take them to a hospital? What are we going to do? Now, everybody's mechuyev, right? So therefore, one person standing there will say, cost $10 to take him to the hospital. I'm not mechuyev more than $1. Here's my dollar. Let the taxi driver collect $9 from the 9 other people and he'll have his fare. And if the other people don't want to contribute, what can I do? I'm not mechuyev more than 1/10. Is that true? Of course not. they're obligated severally and individually. They're obligated collectively and individually. Each one is obligated, and the whole 10 are obligated. If 9 of the 10, or if 1 of the 10, refuses to do his fair share, that in no way relieves me of my obligation. If the other 9 don't want to, then I have to pay for it myself. So what if I, yeah? Maybe, we'll worry about that later. But that'll be tomorrow, not today. No.
One member is required to build it, and
again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I'm not sure if I have a C and D against the other 9. If they didn't pay and I pay, I may have been like a prayer. I'm not sure that I have a cause of action to recover from the others. That I do, but that's tomorrow. That's Sheni and Chamishi when the Bezdin sits. But I can't wait until Monday and Thursday to go to the Bezdin to collect. I'll die of a heart attack in the meantime. In the meantime, I have to shell out the $10, and I'll worry afterwards about whether I have a tzvi for the others. What's the halach with regard to the Bnei Yair? The Bnei Yair can be kosher to raise the taxes. In the meantime, why? You know, I'm rich. Why don't I have the obligation to lay out the money immediately? As soon as I lay out the money, we start building the walls. The sooner the walls are built, the sooner I'm defended. If this is a simple case of pikuach nefesh, then my obligation should be an immediate obligation. I should have no right to wait and, you know, to let it abide to the collecting of the taxes. The difference is, what's the difference? Yeah? Shemer psoim Hashem. I don't think this is shemer psoim. I doubt that it's shemer psoim. If it would just be shemer psoim, I don't think that Bnei Yair could be faithful. I mean, that again, it becomes a, you know, what can Bnei Yair be kaifah for? Can the Bnei Yair be kaifah to build fortifications against something that is virtually impossible to occur? I doubt it. I think there has to be a rational defense. There's got to be a rational fear of one kind or another. I mean, that's, again, I don't want to go off on tangents, but I don't know. Okay, I'll give you the example. This comet is going to come in the year 2024, 26, I forgot the year. There's a one chance in 10,000 that it will destroy human civilization. And we can defend against it at a cost of, what, $9 billion? I forgot the figure. It was last week's time, or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Go figure it out. So now I'm a citizen. I want to decrease it at the Bnei Hamdina to raise their taxes, to go send out the rockets that'll deflect the comet, because there's a one chance in 10,000 that'll strike Earth. Not only that, but if I got $10 billion, do I have the obligation to do it myself? Cool method? Right? I don't think
so. Can you say that? Doesn't have somebody can say that Shark Slam can't have anything? It's less than 50% chance of happening?
No. There's some place to say that anything more than 50% is by definition not Shemir Psoim. Yeah. I'm not sure that everything less than 50% is Shemir Psoim. Not everything is necessarily Shemir Psoim. But we'll see. Or maybe the Binyan Siyan may say something of that sort, but I'm not sure. That's a different problem. But in this case that I gave you, it may be wise to do whatever you have to do and spend whatever you have to spend. But I question that any Beis Din Shel Yisrael would enforce the citizen's right to demand that you levy a tax. That doesn't mean that I might not think it's a good idea to do it. Maybe it is. We'll see. Talk to me in the year 2010 or whatever. But it may be a prudent thing to do, but I'm not sure that it rises even to the things of the new year can be kaifa. One chance in 10,000 may be a million, something I don't have to worry about at all. Well, it's way less than what I need for the concept of Shem of Soy. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference for the Chaim Yisrael sign of Riyadh and the heart attack victim? Yes?
Well,
it's a collective pikuach nefesh.
Yeah, everyone will be harmed if they don't have it. Not that an individual will be harmed. Not just the people on one side of the city will be harmed. It's just like the whole city.
there's somebody who is spraying shells in a room full of 20 people, and I can easily defend myself because there's somebody outside who's willing to sell me bulletproof glass. And the other 19 people in the room don't want to contribute their fair share of the bulletproof glass. Does that mean that I don't have to spend the money to save my own life? Forget about everybody else's life. Am I mechuyev to spend the money for the bulletproof glass? Of course I am. And I can't say that the whole tzibur, therefore I'm not mechuyev any more than anybody else. Of course I'm mechuyev. It's my life. I then have to build the chen, the shrine of free. I have to save myself, let alone to save everybody else. LMI, why is that? What about Shabbos? You have to put on the chen, the shrine of free, have Shabbos. Can you go build these fortifications on Shabbos? This I will say. If you can build the fortifications on Shabbos, then I've got to give you all the money. Brachman has to give you the money. Or whatever. He can't say, let everybody else contribute the money. If you don't do it on Shabbos, then what does that indicate? That you're not dealing with Kuach Nefesh. Or at least not the ordinary garden variety of Kuach Nefesh. Why not? Yes? Precisely. This is Nehdi Yehuda. There is no enemy beyond the borders of the city right now, so that I'm quickly getting stone and mortar and putting up these walls so that by the time he crosses the plain, he won't be able to enter the city. There's nobody as far as the eye can see on the horizon. There's no chayla lefaneinu. If there's no chayla lefaneinu, then there's no chul Shabbos. If there's no chul Shabbos, there's no mitzvah l'samid adam reyecho. There's no ordinary case of pikuach nefesh. Then, why can't I be chayla for the bnei year? If it's not pikuach nefesh, then what right do I have to be chayla for the bnei year? It should be nothing. It should be my comment of 226. LMI, what's the answer? That the elimination of the danger that doesn't rise to the Pikuach Nefesh is also a social amenity. I prefer to live in a society in which this danger doesn't exist, even though it's not danger doesn't rise to the level of a Chayla Lefoneinu. It's not worth an America. People need this to ward off future danger. Then what's the principle with regard to future danger? There's a difference between present danger and future danger. Present danger is Lysamid Adam Re'efa. Future danger isn't Lysamid Adam Re'efa, but the category of Neir that are facing Zezeh, Livnes Lohem, Chaymod Losayim of Re'ah. The tzibur has an obligation, or better, the yochi can demand that the tzibur eliminate future dangers or take measures to eliminate dangers from arising in some far distant future. I go back now. The workmen building Amerkatz are certainly not exempt from the proof that Reb Nosson. The oni comes, they got to give him money. What about the workmen building a wall? Fortifications. Are they oisik b'mitzvah or aren't they oisik b'mitzvah? I'm not sure. I think that's the machlokes, the rabbanon and Reb Yehuda. That this is the simple garden variety case of pikuach nefesh, of course it isn't. There's no heter of chil Shabbos for this pikuach nefesh. But when the tzibur does take steps to remove future pikuach nefesh, it seems to me that Reb Yehuda calls this a mitzvah. The elimination of future sakona, while it may not be a chayva, he calls it mitzvah. So that the oisik b'mitzvah is potter mitzvah. And the Chachamim disagree. They say it's not even a mitzvah. It's not even a mitzvah kiyumis. Now we have different categories of mitzvah. There's a mitzvah kiyumis, for some of them we have a mitzvah kiyumis, in this case the Mechal Shabbos too. And then you have a kind of a mitzvah kiyumis. I'm going to save lives at some point in the future, but I'm not under any obligation to do anything now because there's no chayla lefaneinu. And here, Rabbi Yehuda says that while it not may not be a nitzvah chiyuvis, but if you're going, you're doing it, you're being oisik in being matzal nefashis. Therefore, it rises to the level of a mitzvah, and you're potter from the prutah of nosl, and you're called nisi b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. And the chachamim, presumably halachas like the chachamim are saying it's no more than social amenity. If it's in the category of maybe even shemir psoi, if it's in this category which doesn't involve us with an immediate leisamid adam b'yecho, it's not in the category of mitzvah at all. And it's not in the category of mitzvah at all. There's no eisik b'mitzvah. There's a potter b'mitzvah. Yes. Oh, they are. Exactly. It will then turn out that there may be things, according to some of the sheepis, which becomes Ezrat Yisrael Miyatzar, and from Mochemis Mitzvah, and will certainly be an Eisik Mitzvah spot in the Mitzvah, because the level of danger is high enough to cause it to be a Mitzvah, and it's only this lower level of danger, which is so far-fetched, so rochot, that it doesn't even rise to the category of a Mitzvah Kiyumis, precisely. We will now have to go back, and it may turn out that even the Chachomim recognize Ezra Shisrael Miyadzar certain forms of preemptive action which rise to the level of Ezra Shisrael Miyadzar, and then if it's in the category of Ezra Shisrael Miyadzar, it's looked on Shabbos also. It's like Chil of Amena. That degree of Sophi is enough to permit it even on Shabbos. If it's in the category of Ezra Shisrael Miyadzar, then it's clearly a mitzvah. If it doesn't rise to the level of Ezra Yisrael Miyatzar, then what we're dealing with is Lemuti Akum L'Reisi Elayu. And what's Lemuti Akum L'Reisi Elayu? It's like building fortifications, because 10 years from now somebody may decide to attack. What's the difference whether it's building the fortifications because 10 years later somebody may decide to attack, or I'm bombing the nuclear reactor because they may make an atom bomb 5 years from now, or who knows when. That, again, depends upon all the different sheikhs. It's dealing with the degree of danger that rises to Ezra Shisrael Miyatzar. Ezra Shisrael Miyatzar may not even be a category of danger for ordinary pikuach nefesh. It may be in the category of Muhammad, in which case Muhammad may have a fourth ramification, that it constitutes a sakone, such that I can be Mechal Shabbos also, even though this were only a private individual, we're not dealing with something that is enough of a sakone to warrant Chil Shabbos because there's no Chil Lefanenu. I don't really think that's true. I think that is a Yochid, if you define this as Ezra Shisrael Miyatzar, in effect you're saying that this is a real sakone. Or at least, I don't have to say it's a real sakone, it's a real Sophic sakone. And a real Sophic Sakone is Sophic Pikuach Nefesh. Sophic Pikuach Nefesh is Dirk Shabbos, just like real Pikuach Nefesh is Dirk Shabbos. Vada Pikuach Nefesh. There's no difference, Vada in Sophic. So I think that anyone who would define any one of the categories that we spoke about, as Ezra Shisrael Miyatzar, would also say that by definition, we're dealing with a situation which is at least Sophic Sakone, and it's not there everything else. But this then will serve as a means of explicating the Machlekes review, and the Chachomim with regard to Muti Akum Bleleisi Elayu, where you call that an Eisik Mitzvah, Potim Mitzvah. We won't have time today anymore. What I want to do at the beginning next time is now to go back and talk about Melech, Sanhedrin, and Urim B'Tumim, and try to explain why you need all three, what each one of those is doing. I think that for this, as a kind of agdama, I can explain that as well. And then make a few more comments with regard to preemptive war, and then I want to talk about what is essentially his label of war, nuclear war. What I really mean is Jewish war and non-Jewish war. Whether what we're saying till now is binding only as far as Jews are concerned, what about Bnei Noach? When are Bnei Noach allowed to go to war, and when are Bnei Noach not allowed to go to war? And with regard to that, you've got some more material in the passage. All right.